to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Archie Koontz told a story that when he first told it, it didn't mean as much as it does to me today. But he would tell a story about one day he was just worn out. You ever been worn out, totally flatlined? And he just said, I can't pick my foot up. I can't take another step. I'm just going to quit. And he had a little office in one of the old buildings that was moved from Jonathan Dixon. It was actually one of the Army barracks that had been moved on the campus there in Hope Sound. Had a little dinky office about big enough for a small table and a chair. And Archie Koontz said, I couldn't do it anymore. So he said, I packed everything up. Everything I had went into my briefcase. And that was it. He said, I was heading across campus. I was just going home. I hadn't told anybody I quit yet, but he said, I quit on the inside. He said, as I was passing what at that time was the tabernacle. It was the church down on the campus. He called it the old tabernacle because we had a new one later. He said, I heard somebody, I believe it was Sister Zook, one of the old saints. We didn't have air conditioning in those days, and we had a lot of jalousie windows. Some of you remember those joyful days in Florida. As he passed the window, he heard this saint say, now, Lord, you know what Archie Koontz is dealing with today. Brother Koontz needs a touch from God. He needs to be strengthened today. And wherever he is and whatever's going on in his life, lift him up right now. Brother Koontz, as I always called him, said, I stood outside that window and listened to that precious lady pray for me. And he said, heaven came down upon me. He said, from one moment I was ready to quit. He said, the presence of God came and captured me and lifted me up. And he said it was almost like instantaneously the glory of the Lord recharged all of my worn out batteries. And I was strengthened. He said it just came upon me from my head to my feet and I was strengthened. And he said the presence of the Lord gave me such joy. And I just turned around and went back and said, I'm ready to take on another year. Archie Koontz kind of stepped in as a fill-in dad for me, and He would talk to me about things like this. He said, Jonathan, I know that God has done something extra special for me because He's put people in my life that are extra special. And then Brother Koontz would tell this story. He would say, you know, if you have a special child, this was long before we had children. I wasn't married in those days. He said, people who have a special needs child, they give a lot of extra attention to that child because that's what's needed. He said, I'm one of those kids in God's family. I need extra attention. He said, I know that. I know that God loves me, even though I have a lot of weaknesses and a lot of problems and a lot of times I just feel like quitting. But he said, I know that God loves me because He put special people all around me so that I've never been left just by myself. And I remember that today, now that God has blessed us with a special son. And I realize a whole lot more that too is a picture of my life. God put a lot of special people around my life. And those special people were moved by God to impact what I thought, how I prayed, how I studied, how I got up and set disciplines in my life. Those people God placed around me continue to speak through me today. When I stand in this room and I think about the fact that I would not know my son as I do today if Bob Warner hadn't said, why don't we go out and climb a tree and hang out in the early morning? And I just didn't take time to do that. Thank you, Bob. Thank you. Others would come to town, or Roosevelt Muriel would come to town, and he would ask me to travel to a lot of nations and kind of feel like maybe I should have stayed home more in those days. But one after another, God would bring people into my life. One person God brought into my life that was a real pain, his name was Jim Way. His wife is a part of our family today. But Jim was one of those guys that he always believed God wanted more out of your life. Thank God for people like that. who know that wherever you get to, that's not the end of what God has for you. And Jim would call up, and he would call up, and I'd get tired of taking his calls. And he'd say, I can get a hold of the president easier than I can get a hold of you. And then he'd call Rachel. And then he'd tell me later, well, I called Rachel. I talked to Rachel about you. And he would call me and he'd say, McLean, you're a reprobate. You know, you don't respond quickly. And Jim was one of those guys that he was like a brother to me because I knew he loved me. And he would say what he believed I needed to hear when he knew I didn't want to hear it. Robert Peck was one of those guys. Francis Lucier, who's with the Lord today, Francis Lucier was one of those guys. Francis would say, now you're probably going to hate me after we have this conversation, but I'm going to have it with you anyway because I believe you need to hear what I have to say. And he would sit me down, and somehow, because going back to Archie Coons, when Dad had left and Archie stepped in and was a bit of a father, Archie Coons used to do that. We traveled all over the nation. We sang. They'd let me speak, youth camps and such forth. And there were times there were hundreds of people that came, gatherings with sometimes thousands, sometimes two. But Archie Coons would always tell me, he'd say, Jonathan, you weren't that good tonight. Don't think for a minute that any of that happened because you did that. Boy, I needed to hear that. Archie Coons would call me over to his room after everybody else went to their room, and he'd say, Jonathan, you need to make sure you never get cocky and you never get too prideful and you never get too impressed with who you are. I needed to hear that. That was really important for me to hear. Jim Way kept doing that right up to the last real encounter I had with him. We were at the back of the lodge, and we're looking out over a big lake, and Jim said, Jonathan, when are you going to do in the city what you're supposed to do? I said, Jim, what are you talking about? He said, God's given you a heart to call pastors together. When are you going to do that? He said, I'll tell you what, you need to do it by this Christmas. And I'm like, yeah, right. How am I going to do that, Jim? He was doing things like that in Lake Wells. And he said, you don't have to do the hard part. There's a man that you're going to be meeting who will be able to manage and do all of that stuff. But he said, God gave you a heart. He said, your heart is your part. That's it. And that Christmas, we had our first proclamation dinner. I can't believe we're going on like number 9 at this point. And Jim left and went to be with the Lord. So there have been all kinds of people in my life. And so, Rick, I want to thank you for letting me be a part with your family in these last few days and few weeks. Rick was married to a very special lady, let me tell you. Jody, she was a special lady. And you knew her. You knew her. She was a woman of faith. She trusted God. She believed God. We went down to have a little committal. It's kind of like a hurricane down there, Rick. I wasn't sure what you got me into. Got out of the car and I saw Donna's hair. It was standing straight backwards. And the wind was blowing. It was a gale. And as I stood there under that canopy, I remembered the canopy that was there when I was 15 years old, the night I surrendered my life to Christ. That next day, I went down to that beach and I went down to that canopy and all my buddies were there. I saw them and I started to tell them that I'm now a Christian. Gave my life to Christ last night. They started laughing and making fun of me. And I did what every good Christian should never do. I cussed them out. I'd been born again about 12 hours. I cussed them out and said, no, I'm serving Jesus and that's it. And I left and I didn't even make it out of the parking lot. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, now you're going to go back. They knew that, McLean. They don't know who you are now. You're going to apologize to them. They'd never heard me apologize. I'd never apologized to anybody. But I turned around and I went back and I apologized. And that day was just one day of many where the devil told me repeatedly, you're not cut out for this, Jonathan. You'll never be able to make it to heaven because you just mess up too much. And you're really good at it. And there were a lot of people that would document that. And maybe in your life too, some of that has happened. But I thank God that the grace of God is bigger than all of that, because what God spoke to me one day as I was struggling with all of this, He said, Jonathan, I knew you before I called you. I knew you would struggle. I knew you would get messed up. I knew that you would fail. I knew that you would say the wrong thing. I knew that you would need a lot of help, a lot of forgiveness. And He said, I called you knowing everything about you and about your whole life. I knew all of that. I called you. you're a part of my family. I want you to know this morning that when I look at Toddie and I say, thank God for Toddie, she and her husband came into the church and Bob would walk around praying over every chair, praying. Just calling forth the anointing of God. You know, I think about those times in my early walk with God when I could be on top of the mountain and 2 minutes later I could be in a valley. I could be testifying or I could be singing, I could be ministering, and I could be with godly people, and I could be right there at the top of the rung, but then an hour later, the enemy could hit me and I would have a thought that would be unclean. I would have something that would rise up in me. There were so many days that I just wanted to quit. There was a season in my life, I was working in a restaurant and they started slipping drinks into my sodas as they were coming from the bar. All the sodas came from there. And I found out that I liked tequila. Dad did not raise me on tequila. He raised me on the Word of God. And I don't admit things like this very often. I won't talk about, you know, stealing safes and things like that. But I found out I kind of liked that. And I kind of like to have that warm feeling in my belly. And I kind of like being able to go home and fall fast asleep. And they thought it was great to be spiking some preacher's kid drinks. And during that time, I was dating Rachel. And Rachel was praying for me. Don't think it doesn't matter. You're praying for your kids. You're praying. We weren't married. We were dating. And I broke up with her 5 times. I was really stupid. And she said amen. But I broke up with her 5 times. I was dating a girl that she and her family, from their background, alcohol was okay. My father, all of his buddies died from alcohol. So alcohol was not okay in our house. Not because if you have a drink, it's going to send you to hell, but because some people can't take just one drink, and sometimes you don't know what's going to send you down the wrong path. It's best to never start. Then you don't have to worry about it. But Rachel was the one who really said, I'm praying for you, and what's happening? And she interceded. She's done that a lot of times through our life. Thank God, you know, I'm not off the wagon. I didn't fall off the wagon. I went home and I repented. I cried out to God. A lot of times I've needed to do that. So I want to thank God. Anything that's been of any value is because He has been with us. So I'd like you to turn with me to Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90. I have a hard time with days like this because I really feel like I should be hugging all of you and telling you it's all about the love of God that's in your life. I'm just going to share from my heart a couple minutes and we're going to have lunch together. Michael Hennessy, it's awesome to have you here this morning. Psalm 90. Lord, through all the generations, you have been our home. I want you to check and see if you have a heading for this psalm. A prayer of who? Prayer of Moses. Boy, that goes back a ways, doesn't it? We're in David's songbook. How did a prayer of Moses get in there, right? Listen to what Moses has to say. Through all the generations, you have been our home. Before the mountains were created, before you made the earth and the world, you are God. He speaks of the eternality of God. God is eternal, no beginning, no end. You are God. Without beginning or end, you turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust. For you, 1,000 years are as yesterday, just a day. They are like a few hours. You sweep people away like dreams that disappear or like grass that springs up in the morning. The morning it blooms, flourishes, but by evening it is dry and it's withered. We wither beneath your anger. We are overwhelmed by your fury. You spread out our sins before you, our secret sins. You see them all. We live our lives beneath your wrath. We end our lives with a groan. Verse 10, 70 years are given to us. Maybe you have a translation that says 70 or something like that. 70 years are given to us. Boy, that gets my attention. I'm 69 now. Some of you are way over this, right? This gets my attention. 70 years are given to us, and some may even reach what? 80. Some of you are over 80, aren't you? I'm not looking at anyone. None of you ladies are, I'm sure. But, Harriet's going to celebrate a 90 coming up. But think about this. 70 years are given to us, and some may even reach 80. And go beyond, right? But even the best of these years are filled with pain and trouble. We do have mountaintops and we have valleys. R.L. Lafferty, some of you remember R.L. He was a dear friend. He had ministered 40-some years, joined our team and was with us. He's now with the Lord. But if you ask R.L. Lafferty, how are you doing, brother? He'd say, peaks and valleys, peaks and valleys. That's what he always said. Bless God, peaks and valleys, peaks and valleys. Yeah, best of our years, there's areas of pain and trouble. And you know why? Because we sinned, right? We all sinned. Came short of the glory of the Lord. So sin is a part of our environment, our world. And because of that, we die. And death isn't easy often. Who can comprehend the power of your anger? Your wrath is awesome as the fear you deserve. Then we come to this verse 12. Teach us to make the most of our time. I grew up with King James. You know, I hear things like, teach us to number our days. In other words, don't get so busy living life that you fail to remember that you're not going to live here forever, but you are going to live forever. And so recognize the days you have here are days of incredible opportunity, but they also will pass really quickly. Wow, I'm so glad at 15 years old. At 15, I am so glad at 15, I bowed my knees to God. I am so glad I did that. If you ask me if I have regrets, I have regrets. You know what my biggest regret is? That I didn't respond when I was like 3 years old or 4 years old when God was calling me, and He was calling me. I remember it. I remember sitting in that tent. I remember I was on the front row, and I was in this, I believe, the second chair, and my feet were a long ways from the ground, but that's where I was put, and that's where I would stay till I was moved. But I was sitting there, and Dad was giving an altar call to those who had staggered in from their afternoon and evening of drinking, and they would spend the night in the tent Dad put up, and I would be there, and Dad would call them to come and surrender their life to Christ, and I'm sitting there, and God's calling me. I remember sitting there that night thinking things like, I can't do that tonight. This is for those people, not for me. I can't do that tonight. I regret that I didn't do that night. And then do I have any other regrets? Yes, it was when I was about 9 years old. 9 years old, I was in a camp, and God was moving, and God was touching my heart. God was calling me to surrender my life. And I remember that night, we were back toward the back, and I finally just said, okay, God, I'm gonna do this. And I walked down to the front, and we had altars in those days. Now a lot of churches, they've forgotten what the cross is about, and they've also forgotten what altars are about. But thank God for an altar, and I dropped to my knees that night, 9 years old, and I started a journey with God that lasted about 3 hours. When I got back, we lived in a little travel trailer. My brother was on top, I was on the bottom bunk, and I did what I thought a kid 9 years old would do, who had just given his life to Christ. I got down on my knees. My brother started laughing at me, and he started making fun of me. And I remember getting back into bed that night saying, God, I can't do this. Surely you understand. And I hate to tell you, but years went by before God really knocked on my heart again. You can be blinded by the light. I grew up in Sunday school, church, Christian school. Was around the truth all the time, and I knew it. I knew about it, but I decided I can't do this. I don't want my brother making fun of me. I can't do this. But that night when I was 15, God said, tonight's your night. And somehow, maybe not, maybe you don't believe God actually knocks on your heart and says, this is your day. God did that to me, and I knew that was my day. That was my night. And it wasn't convenient because nobody else in that whole building went to the altar that night. And there was no altar call. They were praising and celebrating. But God was knocking on my heart. And somebody's getting your heart knocked on this morning, and you might be online, you might hear this on the radio, but there is a day when God knocks on your heart and God said, now is your time. And then God took me on a journey. It took seconds, but He took me on a journey of all those times that I should have died. And He said, I kept you alive. You say, how many times can you have when you're 15 years old? I had already lived pretty reckless. Several times I should have died, starting with when I was a baby in the crib and I rolled up in a rubber blanket. And when Mom found me, I was deep black and purple and had stopped breathing for she didn't know how long. Didn't have cell phones in that day. Didn't have a telephone in that day. Mom didn't have a car in that day. There was no one else anywhere around. But Mom said, I knew that God is a God of miracles. So from the time I was a baby in the crib, Satan was trying to take my life. Mom began to pray and call upon God. And she said, at some point, you started coughing and God put breath back into you. So there were a lot of times like that. I did stupid things, a lot of stupid things as a kid. That night as God was dealing with me, and I just felt this morning I had to tell this story because it's so important that when God knocks that you answer. Because that night, I believe that was, if I turned away from God that night, I believe God had not dealt with me in years. Years. There was no conviction. I felt nothing. I could be in any service. And I didn't even think about it. And I was sat right up in the front. And I sang in the choirs, and I traveled, and I was in the Christian school, and God didn't deal with me. God had left me alone because I said, God, I don't want to go with you. But thank God he came back and dealt again. That was my night. That was my night. I've slipped off the trail a little, but I've never looked back. I've never turned away from God since that time. I was reading this, and I got to this passage that we need to number our days because, wow, Jay, how did you get into your 30s? I don't know how that happened. And Andrew, you know, he's grown up. And my wife said, 47 years of marriage. How did that happen? And Tim, you remember I had hair one day. You know, that was back in another day. And so did you a little more. And I'll tell you, Tim remembers I wasn't so smart. And my mouth could get me in trouble. And he was not a good influence on me sometimes. His mouth got me in trouble sometimes. But you look over your life and you can look at your life and say, time flies by so fast. And yet when God comes and crosses your path and He calls you and says, I have something for you that is significant and I want you to come into my family. And Rick, it was also on that beach where I went to the south end of that beach, Hope Sound Beach. I would go and fast and pray, and I'd spend my nights, and it'd be midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was 15 years old, saying, God, what do you want to do with my life? Why am I here? Once you have that encounter, you need to find out what you're here for. Find that out. And God has a plan. You only get one life. Dad loved that. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Yeah, you need to learn that. You need to say that as a young person. You need to learn that there's only one life. It'll soon be passed. It was on the beach right up just to the south of that very place. But one night God turned the whole heavens into, I know, maybe God doesn't talk to you like this, but I need special encounters. I had an encounter with God. The whole sky became a screen and God showed me my life. So this is what I want you to do. I've wondered sometimes if that would actually happen. And then in the last couple years, God's expanded things exponentially. It's not quite the way I understood some of the journey, but what God showed me that night at 15, God is doing today in my life. I would encourage you, whether you're 15 years old or you're, I almost said 1,500 years old, find out why you're here and get on track with what God's called you to. Jose and Cheryl talked about that. I went with them they took me out on some hikes. Jose took me on some hikes in Panama. And all I could say afterwards, I'm glad I had this experience, but I'm glad God didn't call me here. He took me up a road that I thought for sure I was going to die in the process. And he said, you're going to need a change of clothes. You're going to be soaked by the time you get to the top of the mountain. And then he said, but you can get a shower up here. And he didn't tell me that the shower was going to be in a creek and that while Jay and I are trying to get cleaned up in the creek, that the woods would start laughing. And that there would be people in the woods watching us get our shower. I didn't know about that part. He didn't warn me about that. And then he said, and now you're going to preach to those people that were in the woods looking at you and laughing about you. And so, find your part. Find your part wherever that is. So, yeah, I should finish, shouldn't I? Teach us to make the most of our time. Oh, Lord, come back to us. How long will you delay? Take pity in your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love so we may sing for joy to the end of our lives. Boy, what a great mission, right? Singing for joy to the end of your lives. Give us gladness in proportion to our former misery. Replace the evil years with good years. Let us see your miracles again. Boy, that's a prayer of my heart. My son's seen a few things. I want him to see more than I've seen. I want him to experience, my boys, to experience more than what I've seen. Renew them in our day. Renew them in the days that we have. We need to talk about those things. Let our children see your glory at work. Michael, from the first time I met you, that's been my prayer. The devil tried to kill you and destroy you and mess you up, but God's got a call on your life. And when you started sharing what's on your heart, it resonated with me. And I'm like, this guy, I want to be close to him because he's passionate, he's full of zeal, he has fire in his life, and he's a little crazy, but I like all of that in Jesus' name. And may the Lord our God show us his approval and make our efforts successful. Yes, make our efforts successful. Can I share with you a verse in Acts? Go to Acts chapter 20. So in Acts chapter 20, there's a verse 24, and I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. It says, "But my life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus Christ." That is one of my life verses right there. And I would challenge you to have a life verse. Find a life verse. Get a hold of that. I mean, I read this. I understand it. It may not be as deep as you'd like yours to be, but for me, my life, these 69 plus years, are going to be worth absolutely nothing unless I have used it doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is that work? It's the work of telling others the good news about God's wonderful kindness and His love. That's it. That's why I'm here.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name. And fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
Testimonies feed my faith. I love to hear about miracles. Do you too? Well, you can listen to my show. I'm Rhett Palmer. It's a new day every day at 7 a.m., 3 p.m., and 3 a.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 on your FM dial.
If we're going to tackle any subject in Scripture, which we do, we regularly tackle one subject after another, we're not going to do it using our 10 favorite verses. We're not going to go to the internet and say 10 verses on and study that. We're going to dig until we find them all.
This is Sam Chess from Grace Emmanuel Church inviting you to join us for the Grace Alive radio program every Friday and Saturday at 2 p.m. and twice on Sunday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. right here on WCNO.